Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Over the past couple of weeks, we have been making a greater effort to get a little bit more understanding, better knowledge around the different, various different religions and religious communities living here in Ireland. Today, I'm joined by David Dunlea, who's a Jehovah's Witness. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea.
How are you
Thanks
doing?
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, not at all. Lovely to have you with us. What does it mean to be a Jehovah's Witness? What are your main beliefs?
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses are a Christian religion. Our name kind of identifies us a lot because Jehovah's Witnesses isn't just a label of the religion, but it's really central to who we are because we believe that God's name, personal name, is Jehovah, as revealed in the Bible. But as Christians, we obviously base our teachings and beliefs as much as we can on the teachings of Jesus Christ. So we try our best to follow those in our day-to-day life as well.
Mm. You believe in a God then?
Of course.
Yeah.
Jehovah God being his name.
Okay. And if you're to draw comparisons, are there more similarities towards Catholicism? Where do you...
So
what religion are you? What other religion are you most like?
Are we similar to? Yeah. I mean, I guess we appreciate a lot of the things that make us unique because there are things that make us quite different to other mainstream religions, other Christian religions. I guess one thing that maybe your listeners might relate to is, you know, most of us here in Ireland, like you grew up knowing about the Our Father prayer, for instance, and we pray for God's kingdom to come, for his will to be done on the earth. So that would be one of the things that we would relate to for a lot of people is that we call to people's doors, we tell them about what we believe God's kingdom is, and that it's going to bring real meaningful change to the world to solve a lot of the problems that we face. So that would be something that maybe a lot of your listeners would relate to in relation to what we preach and teach about.
Yeah. How regularly do you meet?
We meet, so we have public meetings twice a week. For me, where I am in Galway, we meet on a Tuesday evening and a Sunday afternoon. Our Kingdom Halls, which is the buildings where we meet, are...
So they're not churches, say, or mosques or...
No, they're not churches. They're called Kingdom Halls, which kind of goes back to that message that I mentioned about God's kingdom. So that'd be one of the main things that we learn about. But the Kingdom Halls themselves are very functional, simple buildings, you know, conducive to learning. The format of the meetings is that they open with a song, with a prayer. And then there's a variety of presentations and talks on different Bible-based topics, you know, practical lessons that we can learn and apply in life. Something for all ages. And, you know, for your listeners, a lot of people would wonder, well, what actually happens in these Kingdom Halls? On our website, jw.org, there's in the About Us section, there's a great little video, what happens at a Kingdom Hall. And it just gives people a little inside view as to what actually happens. And the meetings are open to the public as well. Anyone's welcome to come along for part or all of it. There's no collections, no admission, nothing like that.
Yeah.
So people are welcome to come.
Is there a leader? Is there a priest? Is there a minister?
No. Well, all Jehovah's Witnesses are ordained ministers. So all of us have that important role of preaching about the kingdom and about the various teachings that we share with people. At our meetings, everyone takes a part, you know, excuse me, even some of the young ones will have a little part in a little presentation or a little part of the program or giving a little comment on something that they've learned. So all of us will take part in that.
And can anybody, like, so when you say everybody who's a member, who is a Jehovah's Witness, is effectively a minister, that's irrespective of gender, sexuality, is it?
Yes. So all Jehovah's Witnesses are ordained ministers. That's men and women. So, you know, when Jehovah's Witnesses are calling to people's doors, I'm sure a lot of your listeners will have met many women, many men doing that work. And that's the central work of all of us. So.
I think that is the one thing people maybe do know of or think about when you talk about, you know, being a Jehovah's Witness, the knocking on the doors. What kind of response do you get typically?
We get a varied response.
I'd say it is mixed, all right. Yeah,
you know, people. We really appreciate people are inherently polite and kind in their dealings with us. You know, and we do really appreciate that because when we call to people's doors, we're doing it because we want to share something positive that we've learned from our study of the Bible and we want to share it with people. But we fully respect that everyone has their own thoughts, their own opinions, their own beliefs or lack of. That's personal decisions. So we respect that if people want to talk to us, that's great. If they don't want to talk to us, that's fine as well.
It's a very, I suppose, invasive way of sort of spreading your word
and your teachings when you compare it to other religions. Mm-hmm. I imagine for listeners, you know, for members of the public, that can probably be maybe a bit daunting. You know, if you don't maybe know much about being a Jehovah's Witness, you know?
Yeah, I guess I can appreciate that. At the same time, we try our best to make it as not invasive as possible. Yeah. Our intention isn't to be invasive. Our intention is to call to our neighbours. You know, we care about people. We care about the things that we've learned. We want to share it. But if people choose that they don't want to discuss it, that's totally fine. We do employ other methods as well. Like often you'll see, actually in the taxi on the way here, I saw some of our literature display cards that are out in the public.
Oh, really? Right,
so that's something that's available for people to just come and take a bit of literature if they wish or ask a question. So we try to do it on people's terms as much as possible. But one of the ways we all enjoy is in our personal time, trying to take a little bit of time to discuss those things with our neighbours.
Is it a growing religion in Ireland?
It is. I mean, going way back to the origins of Jehovah's Witnesses in Ireland, back in the late 1800s, the first congregations were established in Dublin and Belfast. And it's kind of grown from there. There's now just over 8,000 Jehovah's Witnesses on the island of Ireland.
You're probably one of the... We've been talking about this for the past 2 months, really, here on the show, you know, and I would say you're probably the biggest of, if you can say, minority religions or communities that we've talked about on the show.
Yeah, and, you know, there's 123 congregations across the country. Where I live in Galway, there's three congregations in the city, including actually the first Irish language congregation in the world, which was established in 2016. So they have parts of the programme will be presented in the Irish language as well to serve the members of the Irish-speaking community there too. So there's certainly a lot of growth. And the reason for that is that I guess people... We all have the same problems, and you know, for some, maybe the things that we call to their doors, or maybe they see on our website, it resonates with them, and they want to come and learn a little bit more. And that's something we're more than happy for people to do.
Yeah, were you born a Jehovah's Witness, or did you?
I was.
Change?
So I grew up as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. We don't get baptized as infants or anything like that. We make a personal decision when we're old enough to do so.
So do you have like Holy Communion or a confirmation or something?
No, we don't have those arrangements. For me, I made a personal decision when I was a teenager that this was what I wanted to do. Obviously, my parents taught me there, as every parent does, their beliefs and values. But we have to make a personal decision. You know, baptism is an important thing in our arrangement. But it's a decision we have to make personally. So for me, I did that when I was a teenager. Some make it older, some make it younger. Mm. That's for me, growing up as a witness in Cork. You know, I went to normal national school, did all the normal things a person does. And I made that decision when I was a little bit older that this was what I wanted to do with my life.
It's the social side of this I find often is where people are particularly interested. So for you, it wasn't, there's no homeschooling involved with being a Jehovah's Witness. You went to the local public regular school, effectively.
Yeah, I went to the local national school, did my leaving cert in the local Gael school. Some do choose to make a personal decision to home educate, just like everybody else. You know, there are some who do that, but it's not something, you know, the vast majority attend the local national schools.
What about your diet, what you eat? Can you drink? Is that impacted in any way?
When it comes to alcohol, personal decision, you know, some will choose to have a drink, some will choose not to for various reasons. That's a completely personal thing. We do so, if someone chooses to drink, we would do so in moderation. When it comes to food and diet, very personal choices. Again, probably the only restriction that would be on our diet would be that we don't consume anything that would contain blood products. So, you know, that comes from a Bible-based command to abstain from blood. And, you know, we understand that to prohibit foods that would contain blood products. So for, you know, I mean, in practical terms, that only means that for me, if I'm having the fry at the weekend, there'd be no black pudding. Just have something.
So do you eat any meat then?
Any meat? Oh, yeah, of course we eat meat. So there are some vegetarians, but anything that would have, you know, like blood sausage and things like that, like black pudding, that would have blood added to it. Those would be the only things that we'd choose not to eat.
You don't take a blood transfusion either, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Why is that?
It comes from the same Bible command to abstain from blood. And there are a number of references in relation to the use of blood in the Bible. And so what we've come to understand about that is that it prohibits us using blood in any form, whether it's to consume it by eating or in medical procedures.
So God forbid if you were in an emergency here now when you left here today. So you would, somebody from your family or next of kin would say you David won't take a blood transfusion.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, and that's a personal decision I've made.
Yeah, okay.
As would be the case with all Jehovah's Witnesses. We really appreciate, though, the work of the medical community in Ireland and right across the world that, you know, first and foremost, if anything happened, none of us want to die. We all want to live and we all want the best quality medical treatment. There is just that one restriction for us that when those blood products, blood transfusions are involved, that we would request the use of non-blood medical alternatives. And there's so many of those available now in modern medicine that it's been the case that very often we are able to get that gold standard of care without the use of blood products.
Okay. And just in terms of people listening today will have heard you talk about going door to door, and I suppose that kind of advocacy that comes with being a part of your religion. Do you abstain from involvement in politics in any way, or... There's kind of similarities in it.
We would maintain political neutrality, so we don't vote for one political party over another. We don't get involved in political movements. The reason for that isn't because we're disinterested in the issues that affect us, but like I mentioned earlier about God's kingdom, you know, we believe that God's kingdom is a real government headed by Jesus Christ as the King of that kingdom, and the reason He taught us to pray for it is that it's going to affect real change on the earth. So we choose to give our time and our allegiance to that kingdom, and that's why we go about telling people about it. So the same way other people, maybe for political reasons, might call door to door to say why they feel their political party is the best or whatever, although we don't participate in that, that's the reason we call to tell people about what we feel is the
real
solution.
So do you vote then?
No, we wouldn't vote.
You don't
Same
vote
reason.
At all. Yeah, you don't abstain, or you abstain from voting as well. Okay. And I presume if people were listening today, anybody can join.
Anyone's welcome to study the Bible with us. We make all of our meetings open to the public. People are welcome to come along and see what it's about. If they have questions, they're welcome to talk to us. So anybody is welcome to study the Bible. And then, you know, when they study the Bible with us, they make their personal decision as to whether this is for them or not.
All right. David Dunley, Jehovah's Witness, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Thanks so much, Andrea.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.